the steal. Three on one. Alley-oop. Oh, my goodness. Marcus Mizzen. And you certainly are in love with him here in Louisville. Marcus in the open floor. Hops. Incredible.
Get up, get up, get up, get up. Let's get ready for Marcus Maven. You're about midway to the midday with Marcus Maven. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
You would think that I've been doing this long enough to know when the music is playing. You would think I've done this long enough to know approximately how long it takes for the guy to say Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage. Means I still got 12 seconds. I mean, it's time enough for me to connect the stream.
Yeah.
Get a sip of juice.
You didn't have your headphones on. It made me nervous.
My headphones are right here.
I know, but
me.
I wasn't sure you heard it, and I panicked, man. I panicked.
You're pointing at me.
Beating on the window.
You're beating on the window.
It's like, hey.
Hey,
put your stuff on.
We're going live. Hey.
Yeah.
We've had the worst starts to shows that were much more dangerous than today. I spent the morning watching Steve Rummage almost get himself crushed in the elevator.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a little scary.
Yeah.
Would you stick your whole body in the elevator?
I'm like,
is NICU that important? Nikki catching an elevator, is that important to you?
It would have been a sad thing to die for.
What a terrible way to die.
God's like, what happened? I'm like, well, I was trying to save it for Nick. He's like, yeah, you're not making it in here, buddy.
There's a general IQ level.
You lived your whole life in order to make it to heaven, and I have to
Who
send you to hell.
Who still puts their whole body to stop the elevator from closing?
I'm telling you, dude.
Do you have that much trust?
There's nothing
in technology.
There's
that
nothing.
That was mad heroic, man.
Horrible heroics.
There's nothing that we as human beings trust more than the elevator door. I mean, dude, there's people will slide their arm in there, like, hey, and I'm like, oh, like I don't want to be in here with the hand. Like when your hand gets ripped off, I'm gonna be like, now I'm in the elevator with your hand.
All you got to do,
all right.
At the very most, you give it one little, hey, if the sensors work, great. If they don't, you know, give it one, like I said, one swipe.
Yeah.
If the sensors work, it'll slowly.
Yeah.
Is that yours?
Yeah, it was me. Sorry.
Open it back up or it won't.
Yeah.
I give it a smack.
Oh, you actually physically touched it?
Yeah, I give it a whack. And then I, you know, put my hand back in.
See, I won't even physically touch that. Don't. The old school doors that had that little rubber.
Yeah, that's
thing.
What I'm saying. Yeah, like give it a smack.
I do understand, but yeah, it's like nowadays, it's like no, it's nothing.
Yeah, what happened to the rubber thing? Did they all just go to motion sensors or something? But the rubber thing was
more of a trustworthy thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I knew that if that got touched, like you know,
I don't know,
stop.
I don't know, but I know you can definitely downgrade an elevator or a hotel. If they got the rubber thing,
you can, that's a good point.
You can just say, yeah,
this is
y'all need some upgrades. But there's nothing worse than the elevator being out.
If you have rubber on your elevator, you know that there's no waffle maker at breakfast.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah, like, it's this breakfast is gonna be butt.
Yeah, it's gonna be toast and bagels.
Yeah,
maybe some yogurt.
This is gonna be garbage.
Do you ever look forward to the continental breakfasts?
I do if there's a waffle maker. The waffle maker is the Mendoza line.
Like when
that's the Mendoza line of a good breakfast.
We specifically stay when we go to Gatlinburg, or we stay in Pigeon Forge. I always say Gatlinburg, but we stay in Pigeon Forge. And we always stay at the Econo Lodge Riverside. Part of the reason is because we really enjoy the breakfast.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's the same thing every day. It's eggs, sausage, waffle maker, gravy. You know,
I feel like when I go on trips though, I want to go get some breakfast. So
I'm a little bit of the opposite. Yeah, because I pick and choose where I save, where I'm like, okay, and I'm like, okay, if we can do breakfast here. Now there are some spots where it's like, I just want breakfast, you know, or especially in Gatlinburg and stuff. You do
a lot
got
of pancake,
some good pancake
houses.
Spots.
Yeah.
You might one day be like, you know, we just want to go hit one of the pancake spots or whatever, or Paula Deen's. I'm sorry, but I love Paula Deen's. And see, I love Paula Deen.
But what was the context?
Yeah. But what did they say to her?
Yeah.
Is what I want to know.
Have you seen the comedian says, maybe she was like, y'all hurry up and get these breakfast.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. The
how did you say it? Like, well, maybe she was trying to get the rush.
That's what I say. I'm like, it's funny because the amount of black people you see at Paula Deen's restaurant, I'm like, I told Charity, I was like, this to show you, I'm like, food, people were quick to forgive.
I was proud. Yeah. I was proud of the delegation with their Cracker Barrel stance.
Oh, yeah.
Proud. Like, don't talk to me about Cracker Barrel and your political beliefs. Hey, man, you eat Cracker Barrel? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We're not going to stop eating Cracker Barrel. Yeah, like.
Yes. I'm going to Cracker Barrel. Hey, man, I'm going to Cracker Barrel. Do you want something?
I'm like, why is it Cracker Barrel?
Oh God. Yeah, but black people, they're like, we're going to eat.
Oh, listen, Diener said there's a waffle maker and hockey puck eggs at the La Quinta there in Sunrise.
Mendoza line met. There you go.
Hey, I gotta say it too, Nick. It was pretty good last night, man. I had one eye on that game 7.
Okay,
that was pretty good. It's pretty good.
It was fun.
I got to give it to you, man.
I was kind of pulling for Edmonton, but I'm happy for Florida.
Well, yeah, it's the game 7. Steve. Of course, it's fun.
Well, yeah, but I mean, everybody was pulling for Edmonton after we saw the perfect set of
heck of a front porch.
I mean, it was perfect. They were perfect. It was perfect. It was like, I'm an Oilers fan.
I don't.
Who do you cheer for? The Oilers. Who do you cheer for?
The battle for the. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a guy? And you don't cheer for the Oilers? Okay. But it was cool. And I will say, down the stretch there, I'm not going to act like I watched the entire game.
We forgive Paula Deen, sis.
Yeah. I mean, of course. Like I said, once you have her restaurant and it's family style, you know, and they just keep bringing the food, you're like, hey, I need some more sausage. They're like, all right. It's amazing.
Continental breakfast looks like there's a lot of people who are big.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big continental breakfast guy. Yeah. But here's the thing. 5 minutes left to go in the game. It's 2-1. And it's like the Panthers are up 2-1, right? Mm-hmm. They're not at this point. I don't mean this in a bad way. This is awesome. They're not even trying to score anymore. They're just like, 5 minutes. We got to keep that puck out of our net.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Right.
That's the goal. Don't worry about scoring. Just clear it out. We're just going, and they would literally cheer, like they would boom a shot on the net, you know, boom another shot. Is that correct terms?
Yeah, shot on
okay,
the net.
Yeah,
yeah.
Another
shot on goal,
one, boom,
there
boom. Yeah, there would be two or three of them, and then like one of the Panthers would clear it out, and like they would literally like, let's go, you know, because it was like,
yeah,
you know, and everybody was hyped because it was like, okay, this is the game,
right?
For the next 4 minutes, 5 minutes,
right?
Don't let them put that puck in that net,
right?
And you win the game. Like, and it was just, it, I mean, even when Edmonton pulled their goalie, you know what I'm saying? It was like, all right, we got an empty net. They're going for the, it was just, the Panthers still weren't really trying to score.
Right.
Even though there was an empty net. Yep. You know, it was just like, just keep it off. You know what I mean? It was exhilarating. Nope. Like, down the stretch, you were like, okay, they've got to, like, hold this, you know. It was cool mindset.
You know what you just described, right?
No.
Soccer.
Yeah, but there's a lot more hitting and physicality. No offense.
Where you at, Chase?
It was cooler.
Where you at, Chase?
I don't know. It just felt cooler. And the crowd is just into it.
No, there's more shots. That's the thing. Oh, like, soccer can be fun, but, I mean, you'll get, like, you know, one shot
Oh, listen, every time Edmonton got it, is it what's half court called?
It's mid-ice.
Mid-ice, yeah. That's what I was going to call it. But every time they got past mid-ice, it was, okay, they're going to at least get a shot.
Uh-huh.
Usually they would get three or four. And then somebody from Florida would clear it out, and it was like, okay, they got to go back and start again, you know? And it's like, and like you're watching these Edmonton players, like even the announcers were like, they're gassing out, man. Because they're like, dude, we keep getting shots, and we just can't, you know? And it takes a lot on them.
The goalie was standing on his head, Nikki.
Nice. That's a good term. Bob played better. He gave up another blocker side goal at the start of the game,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was like, "Oh, he's going to continue his struggles." And then he locked things down.
What's his nickname?
Bob. Okay. It's Sergei Bobrovsky, and they call him Bob.
Okay, they call him Bob. Okay, I was like, I heard something about that, but I was like, but it was really actually pretty dope. And again, you understand this is what I love about sports. Like,
bring back the glow puck. What say you, Nikki? Sorry,
I'm torn. No, I'm torn on that one because I do think it helps people follow along on the game.
What do you think, Steve?
But it was also distracting.
I have no idea what that is.
They had a the technology to highlight the puck.
Okay,
like a video game.
It's
so it
funny
like a
you
video
say
game.
That. I was going to ask that. I was like, the only thing I struggled with yesterday was. I did not know where the puck was.
Mm.
I just saw him swinging, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you can tell by the body language kind of where it is. Like, the cameraman does a pretty good job, but a pump fake on a hockey stick or on a hockey shot is like, whew.
But I was actually.
It's tough to follow.
Like, I wish they had something where there was something, even if it wasn't on the actual ice, but it was on TV that was like circled the puck.
The purest one to kill you.
They probably do, but I'm like, I don't know where the puck is. I'm just watching them swing.
It'd be really cool if there was a way that you could, like on a smart TV,
turn it on and off.
Put a setting on and off. Because like, I'm not trying to brag, but you know, I played it.
You follow it easier.
Yeah, I could follow it easier.
Yep.
But like, so I don't necessarily need the thing on there. But for people that are just kind of getting into it, and the thing is, once you kind of get into it, you'll know how the puck bounces. You might not need the thing on there. You'll kind of like see how, you know, you could follow. You'll know where
the
puck goes.
It's like watching the read option.
Yeah.
If you're used to it, you know who
has the
ball.
You know who has the ball.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you can tell a quarterback's movements if you're like, okay, he's still got the football. Yeah. You know, yeah, absolutely.
That's a good analogy. That's a real good analogy.
But because even me being a novice – like when they would pass each other
and drop it off
or keep it, I could tell. I could tell. Okay, he didn't give that up. You know, all right, he still got it, whatever. Like, but it was a little like when they get in there and like when there's like three or four shots on goal in there and I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just waiting for the red light to come on and like, oh, they scored.
are you ready for the full automated umpire system?
No, but it's going there.
Are you ready for the football?
No, I think it's all going there eventually, though.
How long? What happens first?
Oh, probably baseball. I think baseball happens first because I think that they can. They're
gonna already go for the reviews, don't they?
Yeah,
they already call for reviews in baseball.
Yeah, well, at least in minor league, I don't know if they do pitches? In minor league, they do the little thing, you know, the challenge. They go up. It's awesome. They go up. They look at it like they have the little like tennis thing, and then they call stands, calls overturned, boom.
Well,
it takes like literally like 20 seconds.
Yeah. I watched Tennessee won a national championship last night.
I did.
I watched quite a bit of that too. I watched most of that, most of the hockey game, and I had Monday Night Raw because WWE's on a total heater right now.
Oh, they can't miss.
They're firing
top to bottom. All their stories.
What I need to ask Gibbs?
Oh man, last night's one. Well, ask him about Jacob Fatu. I love him.
He's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
He already is awesome.
Yeah, and then ask him about the one-on-one interview with Uncle Howdy and Bo Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to hear
those are good ones.
Thoughts
so,
on that.
So, baseball, are they doing challenges?
I know they're doing them in minor leagues. I don't know if they brought it up to major leagues yet.
Yeah, I just think, for me, the system's already there. You know how they put that little box up?
Yeah.
Like it was a strike.
Once they show you.
I think they're going to just start going to that before long.
That bugs me, man.
I hate it. Like, but I think that they'll.
So you need to have the human nature.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the gamesmanship of it. Not everyone's got the same strike zone. So he's like, all right, he's got a wider strike zone. So what am I? I can go to my cutter more. Mm-hmm. You know, something along those lines. But like, if it's just so automated,
is it still?
And then people like, and I mean this not being funny, but people like Jack Grossman, who are sitting in a booth somewhere, crunching the numbers. Are going to be the ones calling balls and strikes, essentially.
Yeah.
Is
seriously.
It still need to waste? Is that still the zone?
I think so.
Yeah.
I would guess, yeah. It's,
well, no, I thought it was shoulders to knees.
I don't know. It might be.
Yeah, I thought it was shoulders to knees.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
There's no way a strike is this high, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, dude, that would be, you'd have to swing, like, I mean.
Yeah, but that's how I always thought it was, like, that because that's way too low.
Knees like, is too low?
No, waist to knees is way too low.
Waist would be, like, below your titties. I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I mean,
you can't say that, can you?
Huh?
You can't say that.
I'm talking about man titties. So I
can't. Oh, man,
yeah.
Boobs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to look at what the strike zone is.
Official strike zone. Somebody's going crazy. Where's our baseball aficionado that's like dying right now?
Be from there to there. Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah. Yeah, below your chest.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be shoulders, though.
If you were swinging shoulder high.
A strike is defined as a pitch that passes over home plate, not lower than the batsman's knees, not higher than his shoulders. So, yeah, shoulders to knees.
That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't more people throw high, then?
I would be a head hunting.
High cheese, baby.
I would be giving them the high stuff all the time.
Even if they hit it, if you hit it swinging straight across, that's not going to be a very impactful hit.
They didn't want to talk?
Somebody said knee to nipple.
No one was there.
I like that. Pancake pantry. Yeah, that is fantastic. Yes, sir.
Are we talking hotel continental breakfasts?
Yes. Well, the pancake pantry is somebody. It's a place in Gatlinburg, and then somebody else said they stay at the Christmas place there in Pigeon Forge, and they got fire breakfast
year round.
Yeah.
So it's a year round Christmas themed hotel.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's. I mean, you pull up on it, it looks like a Christmas castle. It's awesome.
If you're a Christmas person.
Yeah.
Football detection. I think this is what myself and Tanner talked about.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I was talking about the magnet ball.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
the LeBron.
Yeah. The reason LeBron won in the bubble.
Yeah.
Because of the magnet ball. Are you okay with putting chips in your balls?
I mean, wherever you want to put them, I figured they would go in the wrist. Figured they would go in the wrist, but I don't know. And then in the Christian world I grew up in, and the mark of the beast would go in the wrist or the forehead. I never read anything about the
population control, baby.
Yeah, I was saying, never read anything.
That's where it starts. So, Steve, do you cross the line there where you say, okay, we can't do that?
But
you have to think, though. I had this conversation the other day. Steve, this chip right here is paper thin.
Yeah.
You can literally put the little, what is this called on your card? The little chip on your card?
Oh, yeah.
It's paper thin.
Yeah.
You can attach that to a football, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they already got helmets with them, so why not? Like,
okay, is that another technology? That
I mean, people wear the catapult things and stuff on their chest. That...
So, do you worry that there's some compromising in store for us once you do that? Because you know what brought up the conversation, Steve? I watched Detroit Tampa, and I watched Tampa kick that first field goal, right? And I watched that thing just hook. And it just looked like a rigged football, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going for Detroit.
Yeah.
How much fun did I have wearing my helmet yesterday?
You looked like you were having a great time. Yeah.
Yeah.
You looked ridiculous. But you looked like you were enjoying it.
Nikki, why was I just going around with my Detroit Lions helmet that Jalen gave me? So I just did a show last night with it on.
You were talking about how heavy it is.
Yeah, it's so heavy. I can't believe people run around and run fours with those things on their heads.
Do you think football needs to get rid of helmets? Make it safer? Like tackling, like rugby style?
Yeah.
It's the stupidest thing you've ever said.
Yeah, you might as well just
play. Should they get rid of helmets to make it safer?
No, like, no, seriously. There's
just
like,
change the way you tackle.
Yeah, there's something like, as crazy as that sounds, like there is something to it.
Because you're not ramming your head into people when there's no helmet.
Like, they wreck each other in rugby, but they don't have as much concussion stuff because people aren't leading with their helmet.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, like it's one of those things. It's like, wait, what, you know, it just, sounds crazy, but
you might as well just say it's no more football, though.
I don't know. I mean, like,
you can't play the game of football. You can't.
It would be
you
different.
You can't have five linemen and defensive ends and the quarterback where he is without helmets.
I don't know. If you think about it,
when we watch. Okay, Steve. Let me ask you. When we watch those recruiting videos, where
defensive 7-on-7, yeah.
Oh, not 7-on-7. Just the drills.
Oh yeah.
Where you go? Yeah, it's a defensive end going against an offensive lineman. They're getting increasingly violent, more violent, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Those videos where people don't have any pads on at all.
Oh yeah.
I hate those too.
Yeah, I hate
those.
We played. I'll tell you why. When I went against that, was we had graduated and there was.
I don't
was,
know, Nikki. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, we had graduated and we had went off to college, and so there was, I knew a few people that played, I'm not going to say their names, but played football up here at Louisville and stuff, and they were like, we're all going to the waterfront to play, there's some football going on out there, you know, mm-hmm. and it's, but it's legit, mm-hmm. you know, and it's full tackle,
mm-hmm.
and it's no pads. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'll go play, whatever. And they played every Sunday night. It was like a little thing. So I went out there, and there were some people played at Louisville. Again, not any of the, you know, Harry Douglas wasn't out there, you know, but like
Eric Shelton.
yeah, those guys weren't out there. But then there were some guys from Kentucky State that came down, some guys that played here locally, you know, different stuff, and a few people I knew through the years. We played a 2.5-hour tackle football game, and it was it was brutal,
mm-hmm.
like brutal,
mm-hmm.
full hitting, blindside, bang, like no pads. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. And I was like, this is like, people that do this is like really dangerous. Like, it was a really dangerous thing we were doing, mm-hmm. you know. But they played every Sunday night. That's why I went into like full. To me, tackle football is just not meant to be played. And that's one of those things where I'm like, you can call me a whatever, you know, that's fine. I couldn't think of the word that was going to be radio appropriate, but like, right. You could call me whatever you want. But I'm like, even with like maybe young kids learning the game, like I wouldn't go out there and be like, hey, stop. But like, if Elijah was like, I'm going with my high school friends and we're going to play a full game of tackle football, I'd be like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Like,
because it's the problem. It's the problem. It's like the ultimate game of chicken.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you have to find a gentlemanly line between, I'm not going to use my full momentum and force.
This texter has been there.
Okay.
Because he's, whoever this texter is, says, we used to do it every Sunday night until they stopped allowing cleats on the great lawn. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, that's exactly. I probably saw that. We probably played in the same game.
Uh-huh. Wait, you said it was the Great Lawn?
Yeah, we went out on the Great Lawn.
I played there a couple times.
Sunday nights.
Dude, it was wild.
Cleats. Like I said, people from all around. Some people that lower level players played at Louisville. Some Kentucky State guys. Some dudes from Eastern County. Like, and some dudes that were just good around the city. And then they stopped allowing cleats. And it was like, and it's funny because even savage men are like, Yeah, I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid of getting hit, but I ain't running around here with no cleats.
That's where I draw the line. But yeah, it is the gentleman's agreement. Like,
yeah,
how much forcing? Like, you know how you started.
That's funny though. That texture's definitely.
You started seeing the separation on the kids that were willing to just run as fast as they can and turn into you.
Oh yeah,
and did not care what are we doing here? You know, like, because then I gotta side wrap you or something.
Well, there was a guy out there one time.
Yeah, seriously.
This guy had, only way I can explain him is he had like almost like an afro, but it was like straight.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No.
Like, okay, it's stupid, isn't it?
No.
Afro
straight.
It was like.
Like Snoop Dogg in the Gin and Juice
yes,
video?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And
we all knew exactly.
Good pull out of you. Yeah, that was good. I was like, oh, yeah.
So, but he almost had like tactical gear on. And this guy looked like a defensive end. Uh-huh. And he was playing safety. And like, I watched a kid who was about 6'4". He played local college somewhere. Go up for a football. And this guy just, I mean, he was back there just teeing off people.
Right.
And it was like.
And you know soft targets. Like, I know. If I lunge into you, if I hit you, jaw, neck, shoulder area, you're going to take the brunt of that one, you know?
This is hilarious, by the way. Listen, somebody else said, I used to play there. You know, I believe these people are serious. And then look at these two texts. Look, Nick did not play.
No, I don't know if it was that game. No, look, but I played a game of football at like on the Great Lawn twice.
This texter says Nicky was not there.
they're not by.
Everybody's
I don't
like,
know if it was the same group.
No way.
But I remember playing against like cause,
as an adult.
No, like in high school.
Mm.
And like I remember going down to the Great Lawn and someone knew there was a game down there. We didn't have a high school football team. So there was like a group of us that would just like play football for S&Gs. And I went down there and I've never seen human beings move that fast before. This is true. Like that we had like a return and this guy ran past me and I broke every ankle. Like I mean broke my ankle 3 times. Like he was so fast. And I was like, "Where do these kids play?" Like, so, I mean, and I was just playing tight end, so I didn't have much action, which was fine by me because these kids were fast. But I remember playing football, like, on the Great Lawn. I don't know if it's the same group of kids, but it was.
Look, people are coming back now. People are like, what year and date? When were you out there?
Like 2006? I don't know.
I'm going to go get this.
When you said great, the only reason I perked up was because you said Great Lawn. It's like, I remember playing football with these guys that seemed to be pretty good at football.
That's funny. They were like, I want to know right now, when were you there?
I want the security footage.
Yeah, I know.
I know
it's like, it's crazy to think, but your boy played hockey. I was never a wuss.
I was going
to
say that.
I was never a wuss. I just, you know, I didn't have a football team to play for.
I was going to say, I know Nick well enough that I was like, when you said that, I was like, yeah, I could see Nick playing there. Yeah. And then, but it is funny just watching.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Watching everybody else that views Nick is like this weak chump. They're like, yeah.
I tell you what, we'll reset the show, take a quick commercial break, 9 through 9 the Ville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150 939 is the number. 939 is the station. Before I go any further, let me remind everybody that temperature control is and always will be one of the most valuable resources one could have. If you agree with that sentiment, then DevH Company is most certainly the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222 or you look them up online at DevHCompany.com. make sure you look into the Mitsubishi Mini Split, like the one we use here at the 93.9 Studios for that hard to heat, hard to cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222, or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. The NBA draft is tomorrow night.
Man, that's here, ain't it?
Is the NBA draft dead in the state of Kentucky?
Yeah. I mean, well, Louisville hasn't really had anybody, so it's like whatever.
I mean, that's why I went state.
Are we following Trenton Flowers?
I mean, probably the night of, like when he gets picked, it'll probably be like an immediate, you know, like, oh man, you know, look at that. And then that'll be it, you know, but.
There's no connection to the NBA in college anymore, is it?
Not really.
Like, what? Okay.
I mean, Kentucky's going to have two guys go in the top 10, probably, and I don't think anybody cares. It's like, okay.
I, if I were Kentucky fans, I'd really try to ride the Reed Shepherd thing.
Yeah, and maybe.
To try to keep him attached.
Yeah.
To the program.
Yeah, because he's one that I think will definitely.
He can be back. He can
stick and will always be he'll always be a Kentucky guy. Yeah.
Not the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like whatever. You'll see. Or we'll see. Yeah, like,
we'll see.
Well, I mean, I don't think any of them are ever like, you know, like Kentucky.
Yeah,
right. But. Yeah. Like Mark Pope's, like I gave the everybody, like I saw, and I can't remember, it was somebody, I think it was even like KSR retweeted it, and it was like, oh, John Wall meets Mark Pope, and it was at this AAU thing, and they're like, and it was almost tweeting it like, ha, and like John Wall's talking to his friend over here, Mark Pope walks up standing beside him, John Wall doesn't even acknowledge he's there, he's talking to this guy. Anyways, finally, John Wall turns around, and like, I have to show you the video. He kind of looks at him, and he looks at me, and he's like, oh, hey, what's up, you know? And you can tell, like, Pope's just hey, what's up, you know? And Wall's like, you can just tell it's a casual.
Yeah.
And John Wall just turns back around and starts talking to his friend. And they're like, ha, see? They all still love Kentucky. I'm like, I don't think he knew who Mark Pope was. Like, eventually he was kind of looked at his, because
he's like supposed to know who Mark Pope
Wall
is.
Wall looked over at Mark Pope, then he looked at his guy, like, why is he here?
Why is he standing
and
here?
And then he was like, oh, and then you could see John Wall was kind of like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, like, hey, you good? Man, congratulations. You could just tell that's what he was saying. It probably said, hey, if you need anything, you know, like, I don't think John Wall is like anti Kentucky.
Right.
You know, because Cal's not there. But I'm saying, you're not going to get a lot of those guys like, yeah, they'll still rep Kentucky. Like, why would you not?
Yeah, right. Like, there's no downside.
Yeah. But like, Reed Shepherd will come back here. He'll do things for the state.
Yeah, there's a certain group of players that probably reach out.
Yeah.
Like, find Mark Pope's number.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Somebody like Reed Shepherd will. And as much as I don't like Kentucky, I mean, like, it's good if players come back and they put into the state
and
make facilities and they do, like, that's a good thing.
That was my point, yeah.
Yeah, like Rondo, like, okay, Rondo went to Kentucky. And yeah, a lot of what Rondo's done has been here in Louisville, you know, as far as stuff. But, like, that's a huge resource for the state. Like, yeah, that's a good thing. But, I don't know, man. You just, like, it's kind of. Whatever. And this is not a very good draft. Star power.
Who's the
last?
Okay. Who's the last star college player that you were excited to see?
Last year was all about Wembanyama. The draft was.
No, not college.
I'm just thinking, like,
give me the last star college player that you were ready to go from college to the league.
Was it AD maybe? Maybe Anthony Davis?
I thought you were going to say Paolo Banchero.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Magic took him.
really, pick me a college superstar that you were excited about seeing go do his thing in the NBA.
But even Banchero, it was like.
Texas, 38-31, 93-9.
81-50, 93-9. What college guys did you think were going to come in here and be effective in the NBA that you were like, who he's going to, like?
Like I said, and I know it's not college, I'm just running them back in my head. Like, Victor was a guy. Wembanyama was a dude who's like, I want to see that in the NBA. But again, not a college guy, it's a pro.
Who's my guy that got drafted by Portland?
Draft are going to be French tomorrow night.
Yep. Who's my guy that went to Portland?
Scoot. G League guy.
He died out in Portland. Golly.
Yeah, he's.
Golly.
He's going to tell. Yeah, Zion. Probably Zion.
Zion's a good one.
That's a good call.
Zion is a great one.
Yeah, that's probably it. That's probably it where you're like, I want to see what this dude does.
I want to see him go to the NBA. That's tough, man. That's a good call.
Back-to-back Texas.
If that's the only, and think about, what's that, 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
God, I mean, that was Mac's first year here.
Yeah, that's four at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. Nick hadn't even shut the world down by then.
Just trying.
Yeah, look at this. Like, we got a smart group of Texas. Yeah. So Zion.
Yeah.
That's.
There's been no one since then. Besides
Wemby.
What about Zach Edey?
No, like, you don't care about what Zach Edey does.
I mean, you guys not counting Wemby because he's not wasn't a college kid. Yeah, okay.
Like, what? That's what we're talking about. Like, what college superstars have you wanted to see go to the league?
Because, like Luka and Wemby and guys like that, you were like, oh, man, I really want to see what they can do. But they weren't college kids. I mean, Zion was probably that.
That's the smartest text of all.
Taco Fall.
There it is.
There it is. Taco Fall. How is he going to fare?
That's good.
There's a lot of. Well done. There's a lot of. Have you seen the 16-year-old Chinese girl?
Yeah. 7'9"?
5, I think.
7'5"?
Yeah.
Oh, the Florida kid is 7'9".
Yeah. Is he going to – did he play with Roots?
I guess he did. Yeah. IMG? Yeah.
I never saw – I don't remember seeing him.
I don't either. So I'm like, he must not be very good. They say 7'7", like 2 months ago.
He's
7'9".
Is he going to be able
to – That's wild.
Is he going to be effective?
Gal of BCA, that's funny. Guys, I hope Pat has been in contact with Trey Singleton over here in Jeffersonville. Shout out to Jeffersonville. Yeah.
Texas, is that DJ Burns?
It says RJ Burns, but I don't know if they mean, maybe, they might mean DJ Burns.
Mm-hmm.
But like DJ Burns, he probably won't even get drafted.
That's the college thing. That was simply a Kenny Lofton. Did he ever make it in a roster?
He's playing somewhere because he's lost a ton of weight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know who I'm talking about, Nikki?
I'm looking him up. See where he is.
Oh, where'd he play? Like Tennessee Tech or
Kenny Lofton Jr. I think his name.
Yeah, because he had a few games last year where he was decent.
He's like a DJ Burns.
Yeah, he's with the Jazz.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because he could play. But again, it was anomaly. You can tell that
he's lost a ton of weight now.
Can that be effective?
He's a totally different human. But yeah, I mean,
somebody going to him was like, "Dude, if you drop this weight, we can get you a shot."
Yeah, you just, the thing is though, man, is when you think about it, you just don't. And I don't know that,
is this good for college?
I don't know if it's good. That's what I was about to say. It might be good for the NBA. Because, like, there's a new wave taking over the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's guys that have been in the league for 3-4 years or so. You know, like Anthony Edwards is finally getting his feet under. Tatum has moved on to taking over.
Even Luka.
Luka, he meant DJ. Yeah. We figured. But here's my thing. When they went to one and done, I almost think this is what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of all the high school kids coming in there and flaming out, you get kids to go to college, even if it's just for a year, or go to the G League, or go overseas, or go over wherever you're gonna go, and you're a little more ready, so you don't flame out. But it might still take 2 or 3 years. But now you've got dudes that, I mean, are 3 to 6 years into the league that are kind of, it's like, okay, now we have a group, it feels like, that's ready to take over the NBA. Like, the faces of the NBA are changing.
That just means it's all potential now. It's like your skill set doesn't even really matter. If you're tall, athletic, like, you have one skill set.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think that's the same thing it was when they were coming out of high school, but the difference is they're not high schoolers anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so you're still taking
off. Where did Naz Reid go to school at?
LSU.
I don't know how I missed
that. Yeah, he played at LSU.
With your boy?
I think he was under Johnny. He might have been under Will Wade for a year or so, but he was under Johnny Jones? Simmons with Johnny Jones.
Johnny Jones, yeah.
Because I hadn't seen him. Like, I don't remember seeing him in college. Yeah, yeah. When I watched him with Minnesota, I'm like,
do you remember when Kentucky, LSU beat Kentucky?
Yeah. I was at that game with the cylinder thing. Right. Yeah,
that was Naz Reid.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and then we played Duke. I think we played Duke right after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. I'm like, geez.
Yeah, he was like a five-star coming out, and he ended up staying at LSU for like 2-3
years. Yeah, I remember hearing the name, but I just don't remember like actually watching him play. And like I said, when I saw him in Minnesota in the playoffs, I'm like, where did this dude come from? It's like he's a can't misser.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, maybe it's worked. Like I said, maybe it's worked. And overseas guys are always going to be a little more far along. But, I mean, the guys that have tried to go straight from high school, Thon Maker, I mean, he was a can't miss prospect. Went straight from high school, played a couple years, never really heard of him again.
Was Bol Bol a can't miss prospect?
Probably, but Bol Bol's good.
Have you seen people make the Bol Bol just like if he would have been French, they'd have been pumping him.
Sure,
you know, trying to make him a superstar.
Kind of the same thing. I mean, it comes off the Shaq thing. Yeah, Shaq saying we already got Wimby in the league. Like Bol Bol can do what Wimby can do.
Okay, is Shaq the one who brought
that
up? Shaq
brought that up. Okay. Shaq was like, everybody's acting like, even though I will say I think Wimby's better.
Oh yeah, he's definitely better.
But he's like Bol Bol can do the same stuff. He's like, he can run the point. Like, I was terrified. I thought John Calipari was going to get Zion, Bol Bol, and RJ Barrett. I was like, we're over.
I remember the Bol Bol thing was like, I remember being happy.
Yeah. He ended up in Oregon.
He stayed at Oregon or something.
I don't think he ever played. Did he ever play
in Oregon? Yeah, he played.
He
got hurt. And then you start thinking,
He missed the first few games because of some kind of he took payments or whatever. And then
what do you mean or whatever?
Yeah. And then he played and then he was like, oh, he got hurt. And it was like, okay, he's not playing anymore.
He's a can't miss prospect.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so you think that wasn't a legit injury?
I mean, probably not. Right. Like,
there's no benefit to playing college.
No. That's why when we were talking about the, who was the kid here just recently, the French kid that they were like Louisville had chatted with? And I'm like, kid's not coming over here. I mean, I was like, I love Louisville more than anything on planet Earth. And if I couldn't in good conscience tell that kid to come play at Louisville. Like, dude, you're projecting to go to
you mean playing college?
Yeah, play college anywhere. Yeah. Yeah, nothing to do with, I mean, if you're going to come to college, Louisville's one of the places you would go. But it's like, dude, are you insane? Do you know who's going to start for point guard this year at Duke, Nick?
I don't.
Okay, he's been in college for 3 years.
The starting guard for Duke?
Yeah. Okay, his name's Tyrese Proctor. You remember Tyrese Proctor?
Oh, yeah.
Tyrese Proctor. The first time I heard Tyrese Proctor's name was Chris Mack. Jody Demling put out there that Chris Mack and Ross McManus had a connection with Tyrese Proctor. He was this Australian kid, right? Australian kid, nobody had really heard of him, but it's like, no, he's a heck of a player. They throw him in the rankings, right? They're like, oh, he's a top 25 kid. Well, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, if he just goes from Australia to the NBA, he's probably going to be a first rounder. Well, he's going into his third year at Duke because he chose to come over here and play college.
It's like, right.
Yeah, now you're at Duke for your third or fourth year.
You've been consistent in that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, if you're a good foreign player, well, your best bet's to go insane. Straight to the league.
Especially if you're French right now.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Like, France is the the flavor of the month. And they're good. I mean, the players they're are good, good at, that are good. Coming out of there. So, I mean, I'm not knocking it, but, like, you would be insane.
I'll never forget this kid they put in my back pocket. Little Jerome. His name was really... No, I'm sorry. Jerome. Right? But, again, he was a handful.
Yeah.
And he was 16. And he was small, but he was lightning fast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is he going to be? You know what I'm saying? What is he going to be? And you know how you love it then.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no professionalism to it. It's just all gas, no brakes, no. He doesn't care if you toast him all day today.
Absolutely.
That what time we doing tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you, like I said, you give a kid 3 years of that? You put him with a pro team at 16 years old? It's like. NBA, y'all might as well just start taking a couple minor leaguers, take a couple local high school kids.
Oh, absolutely.
And just let them practice with
yes.
you.
Yes. Yeah, like now.
Take them out of local high school and let them start practicing with your NBA team.
Yeah.
Watch what he looks like his third season. But you can't, problem is, you can't send him back to, you can't put him back around his high school friends anymore.
No. No, absolutely yeah, not.
He demolished him.
Yeah.
That environment. You think that'll work? If you just let them put four on your NBA roster, just get four high school, you know, 16-year-olds a year.
Oh. No, because then you're going to run into where's the line of demarcation, like who can't go? You either got to let them go or not. Like, that's what you mean, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, to me, then you're going to get lawsuits, you're going to get like, because then I'm going to be like, okay, well, I can go show you a game where you have Marcus Maben allowed to go to the draft. Okay, well, let me pull up a game. I outscored Marcus Maben in this game against Marcus Maben. So why can't I go to the NBA? You know, like, they would just
that's a good point.
Because he said he let you.
Yeah, right. It's because you are a 6'3 white kid, and he was literally didn't care about you, and your team was down 30, and you hit 12 threes. But I mean, if you're number 10 in the country and this kid's number 4.
And the politics. Yeah, they did that with the.
Yeah.
They tried to do that. You remember with like, if you were ranked, they were going to try to do the. If you were ranked within the top 20, you could declare for the draft. They were going to try to make that rule to let high schoolers in. Yeah, I remember it. And then I was thinking, how rigged is that system going to be?
Oh, my gosh.
If dude. You let the top 20 players. Declare for the draft.
Yeah.
Who do I have to pay?
Seriously.
To put me, you know what I'm saying, to make that list.
And well, let me ask you. Bronny was 43rd, like something like that was what his ranking was. You think there's any shot he wouldn't have been top 20 if that was the case? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're going to put Bronny at 21? I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I just, you either let him go or you don't. That's
it. Yeah, there can be no gatekeeping.
Yeah, and to me, I think
they got Bronny James on the commercial, Steve.
Oh yeah, he's there. See, look, Wednesday and Thursday, a 2-day event.
Why would the second day be at 4 o'clock Thursday?
Yeah, that's weird.
Are they doing the first round one day and the second round the next day?
I mean, I guess.
So they can have more time to talk about Bronny.
Oh, I wonder if that's why, if Bronny slips out of the first round, if they're like, well, because.
How rigged is this going to look once he goes?
Well, the Lakers are shopping the 17 pick now. Coach Redick is. Because
they're saying we can't, in good faith, use this 17th pick on Bronny.
Yeah, they said they're looking. They actually said, who's my guy? DeAndre or Deontay Murray. And.
Lakers got to blow that whole Grant thing up anyway.
From was it Grant from Syracuse? Jeremy Grant, maybe. They said that they're looking at them.
They got to blow that thing up. They got to blow. Lakers got to blow it up,
or not?
I keep Bron and Hachimura.
Well, they said they've already chatted with JJ Redick. Coach Redick said he's already chatted with chatted.
Did he say? did Redick say, I don't have any idea how to answer that question?
Man, he's like, I don't give a blank.
Is that doing too much in your opening press conference?
I mean, that's JJ Redick, man. He might work.
Help land the plane, Nikki, Steve, 939 The Ville.